B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, this is going swimmingly. I can't hear you, Fred.
We can't hear you.
All right. Well, okay. Now here I am.
There you go.
All right. All right. Here we are.
Okay. So the way it's set up, Fred Toucher is right now in the room that usually Dan O'Brien, our producer, is in. If you've ever seen the television side of things on either Zulak and Bertrand or Felger and Maz, he's standing where Chase Stu usually is. And what's great is that to his left is none other than Bird, who very loudly likes to answer the phone and aggravate Fred.
So I've already heard Nick piss Dan off.
Oh really?
Yeah, because Dan was trying to navigate like how I was going to do all this, and then there's young Nicholas, and he's like, "Is there anything you need me to do on Fred's board?" And Dan is like, "I'm going to pretend I didn't hear you saying this." And
Nick's just trying to help, Dan. Why are you being
he
mean?
Said he always has to insert himself into everything.
That's true.
That there was nothing for him to do.
Uh-huh.
All right, so does this manually fire, or do I...
It's
do,
on, then you can do it.
Okay, all right. I just do it like this.
So, Fred, it's time once again for us to do a little research into what is available on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Podcast Network. God knows you hear commercials for plenty of our podcasts. And I heard that there is a special one that was recorded just last night. This is one that had to be right off the presses.
Was this another emergency one?
I believe this was.
All right.
Had to be done, I'm sure, around like 11:30 last night after a certain pay-per-view.
I mean, the listeners demanded. I mean, as soon as the event's over, I mean, you got to batten down the hatches and get this done.
Let's go to another edition of Jay Stu, Jimmy Stewart from the Felger and Maz Show, and Mike Sarge Riley from the podcast Wrestling Inside the Ropes. Fred, let's let it roll.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Hey, I need something that rocks.
By the way, I had to edit this intro down by about a minute and a half. Like, it's like the most gratuitous intro.
Hey, you know what it smells like in here?
What?
Halitosis and dead animal.
The stench from the 2-6 show.
Yes. Hey, guys, give me some that rocks. Rock your socks off to let you know some badass wrestling's on the way.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Mike, we both watched AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view event from Saturday night, and I think the lead stories coming out of that show is the Lights Out match with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. I want to make it perfectly clear, I loved the violence.
Let me tell you something. Blood. Blood, sweet blood. And hey, you know, people, I think they might have been really hurt, which I love.
Jon Moxley, he's so macabre. It's as if Edgar Allan Poe was a human form and splattering his plasma all over our televisions.
The best is when the blood hit the camera lens and I frantically tried to lick. Then I realized that it was just on the inside of the TV. Let me go on record. This is on the record. I love the violence.
Coming out of that show is the Lights Out match with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. I want to make it perfectly clear. I loved the violence in this Jon Moxley, Kenny Omega Lights Out match, which turned into an old CCW death match. Which,
what?
A good old what CCW death match, yeah. Where someone dies.
He's just like, I'm out here whittling on the front step in 2045. Ah, good old fashioned, whatever he said, death match.
If someone doesn't die, can you really call it a death match?
Well, listen, it's you fight to the death.
Or the quote unquote death.
I just picture him with like a hayseed in his mouth, like laying back on a like a rocking chair, whittling away, talking to his grandchildren. Oh yeah. Remember those death matches? That was pretty sweet.
Which right. I dig. And if you're asking me to tell you the difference between a street fight, a lights out match, and a death match, I would tell you that a death match means that they're just out to hurt each other, you know, using mouse traps.
We used to play the game Mouse Trap only with real mouse traps. Our version, just we'd put a bunch of mice on a board. Whoopsie, there goes your head. Oh, what? Take away the pain? No siree, Bob. And the winner would be whose mouse suffered the longest.
How long the squeaking went before the eventual silence.
Hey, buddy, we know your neck snapped. Knock it off and die. And to the winners go the spoils. Sometimes we'd have to stay up for hours just watching it writhe in pain.
Where's the popcorn?
A mousetrap match. Ouchie, wowchie.
I would tell you that a death match means that they're just out to hurt each other, you know, using mouse traps and spring beds full of barbed wire out on the rampway and glass. Those are death match elements, as opposed to street fights are more closer to tables and...
Excuse me while I have a cigarette and lay back. Good old-fashioned death match.
You know, barbed wire, baseball bats, and things like that. So I think that's kind of the difference. There's a reason why this match went on last with the unsanctioned stipulations.
It was violent, that's for sure. So much violence, like you said, the glass.
He's calling from a pub night. he's doing trivia.
He's doing trivia down the street.
Yeah, he's doing trivia down the street. Doesn't have time.
Excuse me one second, Jay. B-17. B-17.
Mildred, you magnificent woman, you've won again. Just pay me in cupcakes.
With the unsanctioned stipulations.
It was violent, that's for sure. So much violence, like you said, the glass. Just those moments, James, where you look at something and you have that cringe in your face. It's like, oh my God, is that really happening right now?
Yeah, when you feel the power of being responsible for someone's last breath, sure. It's intoxicating and addicting. I get it, Sarge.
Kenny Omega pulled out the ice pick, and it looked like he was, or the
there's screwdriver. A screwdriver, yeah.
Driver, yeah. So it looked like he was going right for Ambrose's head. He pulled the glass out and cut Moxley's hand.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Word. Word him up. That was good. Only if he had turned his hand over and the jugular was cut. Spraying blood.
Chase Stu just tweeted, hashtag violence.
Yeah, word up, Sarge. That was dope.
Talk violence to me.
Yeah. I thought he was going to use the screwdriver, too. A little disappointing, but then he brought the glass out, and I was like, word. Pretty sweet.
Ice pick, more practical. The evidence melts and no one knows you're a murderer.
Sarge, Why don't you get your glasses checked? It was a screwdriver, stupid.
So it said, this sounds like two dudes talking to each other over the prison phones.
Yeah. One last caress. See you later, alligator.
Whoa.
That God. Was good violence right there.
It was.
Whoa.
Good old-fashioned violence.
Whoa,
that God. Was good violence right there.
Well, I mean, if you're into that.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I'm a sick bleep.
He's not playing it up. That's right. I love it. Hey, I've gotten way past this. Once you cut the windpipe of a cat, it loses its allure after the 100th time. Give me something bigger. I got to deal with a guy at the zoo. Give me one of them tigers.
I'm a sick bleep.
That's right.
These guys went all out. They gave you a good product. Whether you like it or not, you better respect it.
You know,
what the hell is he talking about?
Back off.
I have no idea.
There's no criticism of this event.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not, back off.
G28.
He's
G28.
Listen, I'm doing four things at once here. I'm announcing the Lowell Spinners game while I do bingo and talk to you.
You better respect it.
You know, Vinny Marcellia, who works for Ring of Honor, was throwing darts at somebody, and they were shoot darts during a match, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. I can't believe the Beer City Bruiser agreed to take a dart to the back.
Do you hear the glee in his voice?
Yeah, I know. It's like, you can see him like, oh, fantastic. His fingers.
He's at like the opera, and he's holding the binoculars. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Take another dart to the back. I can't believe you agreed.
But that's really cool.
I mean, see, there you go. If you hate it, that's my point. If you're not a fan of it, you better respect it.
Oh, I love it.
I loved the violence.
I'm screwing everything up in here. All right, so we should break anyway. We will talk to Mike Gorman.
Agreed to take a dart to the back.
All right, we're going to talk to Mike Gorman in just a moment.
I loved the violence.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Marcus Smart finds Kemba. Quick three is good.
What a weapon. What a weapon. Whose time is it?
After a slow start, Kemba Walker is 1-3 away from the franchise record, and the Celtics, of course, the lead to 7. 4:11 to go at the Garden. Boston 101, Dallas 94.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Sorry I didn't have the Gorman clip. That is Sean Grandy, but of course, watching the broadcast last night.
Was Nick in here?
I don't know.
Were you in here? Someone's fooling around with the headphones. Mm-hmm. All right.
Tommy Heinsohn, by the way, yesterday, there were a ridiculous amount of foul calls near the end of the game. So Tommy was pretty riled up at times.
Yeah, and you had Jason Tatum, again, living up to expectations.
Oh, and you know it was nice, too? They gave Gorman a little bit of props yesterday on the broadcast for Veterans Day. They showed that picture of him in the Navy, which was very nice. That they paid those respects
striking,
to you.
Striking. Striking.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
A man who is no doubt a hero, also a handsome raconteur. His name is Mike Gorman. He does the Celtics games on NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, hello.
We got the expert hotline working now?
Oh, baby. It's been
it's one of the few things that's working.
Yeah, it's one of the
two. That was a nice little stall I heard there. You two. That was good.
Yeah, there was...
you know radio too well, then.
Yeah, there was a... it's going to be interesting around here for a couple weeks in terms of the technology.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you are firsthand to what is a team that right now just is... finishing games, they're playing with a ton of energy.
Best team in basketball right now.
Yeah, best. They're the only team with one loss, I think, left after yesterday. Yeah,
that's correct.
And I know that the other thing too that about this team is that you're seeing a lot of growth amongst a lot of these players. I was saying earlier today, I believe that Marcus Smart is the MVP right now for all the stuff that he's been asked to do that he normally shouldn't, guarding these monsters, whether it be Giannis or whether it be last night Kristaps Porzingis, and actually having success against them. On top of that, his three-point shot is going. He's the energy on this team. If you had to take a look, who do you think right now would be the MVP?
I wouldn't argue with that choice. I mean, he gave Porzingis fits last night. Porzingis didn't know what to do with him. You're right about the way he turns games around with non-offensive plays, with defensive plays, with diving for a loose ball, with keeping the ball in bounds and saving it. I got no problem saying Marcus is the most valuable player. I think this is Marcus's team going forward in the future. I think ultimately he's the captain of the Celtics, and ultimately I think he's retiring his number in Boston 15 years from now. I don't know. But I think he's that good, and I think the Celtics understand what he brings and how unique he is. So, yeah, he's a good choice for MVP.
It doesn't sound like the Celtics retiring a number. That's out of fair. You're really going out of the limb there. Oh, Linux next in line.
did you hear that discussion? And we'll ask Danny when he comes on with us this week. But I know it was brought up about, because there's just so many damn numbers that are up there, about the what was the discussion that they were going to let people start using those numbers again?
To bring the numbers down and reissue them, yes.
Do you think Tommy, would Tommy have a problem with that?
No. I don't think it would bother him at all.
Really?
No. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, because at some point, you've got to start looking. I mean, what are we, about one-fifth of all the numbers? You know, about 25 numbers up there.
There are some numbers that can be reissued, Mike, and then there are some that can't be, correct?
Well, I mean, you're probably not going to reissue Russell's or Bird's.
Right.
Those are the two that immediately come to mind. Cousy, maybe. But after that, I think it's probably pretty wide open. I don't think... That kind of stuff doesn't bother Tommy.
Would it piss off Cedric Maxwell?
Tommy knows who Tommy is. He doesn't need a number of the Raptors to tell him that.
What about Max?
Oh, God. He'd be very angry.
He should be the first one to be taken down. But...
Max would not like that at all.
Yeah, Max, he worked hard to get that number.
All right. Well, I mean, he worked hard, but I mean, once again, do you think he's the least deserving one up there?
No, I don't know. I couldn't tell you who's up there. I'd have to see the list, because it is a list, as you said. There's a lot of numbers up there.
It is. All right, so Gordon Hayward was playing like a potential all-star until he obviously got hurt. I guess it's pretty good. I guess it's pretty good news that they're saying that he'll be back right around Christmas. In the meantime, you know, we saw a little taste of it last night, and of people having to step up and play in his stead and make up for, of course, the rebounding he's been great at, and that's going to be missed. Obviously, his scoring. How do you see this all working out as far as minutes are going to be distributed?
Well, I think some guys are going to get minutes in the bench ultimately will be stronger because of it. Green, obviously, is going to play. Green, he brings a lot to the table. I mean, this is not some kid who just showed up at practice. He's played in Europe for a while. He's played with very good teams in Europe for a while. He knows how to play the game, and he is, without question, the best athlete the Celtics have had in the Boston uniform in 20 years. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to think of anybody. I go back to maybe Gerald Green as someone who came in with the athletic ability that Green has. So I think he's going to get a lot of the minutes. And no one's talking too much about Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen, ever since he signed his contract, has played terrific basketball. He was knocked down by that infection and missed a couple of games. But I think Jaylen's going to emerge big time off the extra time that he may get now that Gordon is out. And I was encouraged that Gordon's going to be back by Christmas time. That's plenty of time for him to get back in condition and to be ready. And as Brad said in the press conference. He said, referring to Kawhi Leonard, guys are more fit when they've played less games. And so ultimately when the playoffs come, hopefully Gordon will be a little fitter than most.
Yeah, okay, so Jordan has come out and said something about, you're paid to play 82 games. I saw John Stockton's stat line, and I think there was only twice, and one was a shortened year that he didn't play 82 games.
Kemba plays 82 games.
Yeah, it's like, what do you, is that fair? Should the league do something about it? And I know I'm not, the first to bring this up, but it was interesting what Jordan said, and to look at Stockton's numbers. It's kind of unfair to the fans. Do you think that that's something they should address?
I agree that it's unfair to the fans. I don't know what the league can do. I mean, can they send somebody around to every arena and find out whether the guy really has flu-like symptoms?
They do it in the NFL. They screw around in the NFL with that kind of stuff.
Injury reports and stuff and doctors checking, sure.
And also, Mike, I realize that and then you heard what LeBron James had to say this week, is that these guys, when they come in from all the basketball they played from a young age, are completely brittle. Who do we talk to that said that when these guys come in, even playing 1 year of college, that they can fracture bones and because they've been doing one thing for so long? So I don't know. There's got to be like a grassroots thing to limit at some point in these guys' lives how much basketball
they're
playing.
The question is the game harder to play now than it was when John Stockton played?
No,
that is just a question. And I agree with you. It is easier to play now.
So what are you suggesting?
I don't know. There's nothing I can do about it. My number one suggestion would be that they completely regulate AAU basketball. That would be my number one suggestion. Because
I'd go along with that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
AAU basketball for a long time has been way out of hand.
And, and that's the feeder system now, especially when they get rid of the year of college. I mean, that's the exact feeder system. I mean, basically those kids' college is going to be playing in the AAU. And I don't know, maybe the NBA could step in and when they do get rid of the year in college and kind of try to take over that level of youth basketball, maybe that would do something. But I understand that's a private organization. It might be tough to do.
Yeah, I guess if I were the king of the forest, I would go way back and limit the stuff that kids are doing at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I mean, I watch my brother-in-law, who's got 5 kids, which makes him crazy to begin with. But he's got 5 kids under the age of 12. And, I mean, his whole life is spent in a car going from a hockey game to a track meet to a this to a that for his 6-year-old who's running cross-country to his daughter who's playing girls hockey. I mean, it's ridiculous the number of, to me anyway, it seems, it's ridiculous the number of teams that kids are forced to play on at an early age. And so by the time they get to high school, which in my generation was probably the first time you really played for an organized team, they're tired of the sport already.
Yeah.
And then the only kids who get by and keep going are the kids who are the standouts, who start getting everything handed to them because they're good, and get corrupted to a certain degree at age 12. So I think the problem is more deeply rooted than the NBA, or even college basketball, or even high school basketball. I would just, these kids who are playing organized sports. You guys have got your kids.
I get to do tonight? I did not want to coach basketball at the club level, and I was guilted into it. And the Celtics actually have a program where they help train youth coaches. And I am going to be in a middle school gym for 3 hours this evening.
To learn how to be a coach?
Well, it's actually not bad. I mean, the Celtics and the guy from the Red Claws or whatever is going to be there. But they give you like a packet of how to run practices and all that stuff. But
well, that's good.
But 3 hours, Mike, is unfair.
Well, 3 hours isn't fair. I agree with that. But that's good that they're at least giving some guidelines to people, because otherwise you have these guys who just want to be coach, who don't know anything about coaching, and set up their own little fiefdoms in the 9-year-olds. I mean, the whole thing, I think, is just, it's absurd.
All right.
Anyway, we're off track there. I'm probably pissed off a lot of people too. But
yeah, well, that, what's new, Mike?
You're Captain Controversy.
I mean, you are. You're a lightning rod. I mean, let's get
that's
real.
What this show is all about.
That's right. Pushing boundaries, baby.
It is.
It's pissing off people. Yep, that's been right.
Well, before I let you go, Fred didn't mention it. I'm shocked he did not. I just have to let you respond. Jason Tatum, 1 for 18 last night. What did you make of
that? Yeah, unbelievable, huh?
Mm-hmm.
1 for 18 against a very good team and the Celtics win going away. That's a good sign, number one. It got to that point. If you remember, I know you watched the whole game. It got to that point at the end where the layups were rolling off the rim. I mean, it was just wasn't his night. I mean, we all have days of our occupations when it just isn't your night and everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and it did for him. He'll bounce back. He's really good, this kid. I was not fully on board with the level of people thought that he could attain, and now I think he can be a really big-time player. He's got that Paul Pierce thing going in the sense that he's just getting bigger and bigger each year that goes by, gets broader across the shoulders, gets stronger. He's still a puppy. He's still in his early 20s. He's going to be a very, very good player. So, yeah, this will be a nightmare that he will remember for a long time. But it ended with a win, so hopefully he can put it behind him and just move on.
No, I'm just focused on Grant Williams now.
And, I know you are.
And his pathetic level of play.
Come on now. Come on.
When Fred beats a drum, he keeps beating it.
I'll tell you this. Grant Williams, I would bet you dollars for donuts, is older than...
What if I get Grant to come on the show? Can Grant come on the show someday?
Sure. He's a big Dungeons & Dragons guy.
Yeah, what's he going to do, out-nerd me? We'll have him on with Dungeon Master Jim, and the two of them will get along famously.
There you go.
Listen, why would I want Grant Williams on the show? I only talk to winners, baby. Let's go. Like you.
8-1, big. 8-1.
Listen.
Best team in basketball right now.
God bless the Celtics.
The only team in the NBA right now that's ranked in the top five in both offense and defense.
Look at that. Well,
Grant Williams is a part of that, damn it.
Yeah, he was plus minus minus seven last night on a game where all the starters were in double digit plus.
When he's on the bench, teams shoot 41%. When he's on the floor, they shoot 37%.
Well, it's odd that
you can't argue with stats don't care about your opinion.
Tice plus 27, Tatum plus 16, Walker plus 18, Smart plus 18, Brown plus 12. Now let's get to Mr. Williams minus 7 in his 8 minutes on the court.
Yeah.
What say you?
And that I just gave you about Grant Williams?
Mm-hmm. Was a lie.
I just made that up.
All right. Well, listen, we've solved the world's problems today. Mr. Mike Gorman, we do appreciate it. We've figured out why guys like Grant Williams are so ineffective when they come into the NBA. And I think we got some things done. We appreciate
it. I'm going to have Grant. Grant's going to call in one of these mornings and... You'll become a big fan when you talk to the kid.
Or maybe I'll just kick his ass. Either way.
Unlikely. Very unlikely.
Listen, if he ain't doing judo 5 days a week, I don't know how he's going to get any leverage on the kid. But we'll figure it out.
And by the time you talk to him, you'll know how to run a practice. So you'll be tough.
Oh, I know how to run a practice, baby. It's just called running. Suicides. Even though you're not allowed to call them suicides anymore. But
run, Walter, run.
Yes, it's the whole thing. It's all about endurance. And then hating to go to practice. That's kind of what I'm going for. But I was guilted into it. All right, Mike Gorman, we do appreciate your time as always, sir.
All right, see you guys.
All right, see you soon.
Warriors are 2-9, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
And Celtics play them next week.
And Draymond Green, I think, has just about had it.
Yeah,
I think you could count on him getting kicked out of about 10 games.
Yeah, he's the last man standing at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to take that well. I don't know if he's used to of that kind of situation.
Of not having any help anywhere.
Him and a bunch of guys they signed off the street.
Because he's like from Saginaw, Michigan, which I would imagine his team did very well in high school. Then he played for a very good Michigan State team. And then he played for, one of the great NBA teams of all time. So I would imagine that it's not going to go over well with him. But we can keep an eye on Mr. Williams here. Because you guys are all on board with him.
No, I said that he has not had a bad year. You said he's had a bad year. I said
that was the only argument. Yeah. He is an NBA player. You don't think he is an NBA player. That's the argument.
And I mean, said that
not that he's going
in,
to be a star.
Yeah. I mean, if he tries hard and he's nice, I mean, he could hang around for a while at the end of a bench, you know, and well, not cause any disruption.
That's what it's. You see, to me, it seems like he's going to be a very good bench guy. I'm making a prediction out of such a small sample size. But I do know that when he's been in this year, he's been pretty good.
The numbers speak differently, but hey.
Last night was not a good night for him. But then again, Jason Tatum, you know.
Well, that's another guy that we can talk about. All right, yes.
Are you, you say oh, break. Yeah.
Okay. We're break. I mean, we're a little off time. There's nothing I can do about it. Everything's broken. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's an app. Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Got an email about getting NBA players to play every game. And the guy named Mark, they need to make it so players get paid per game. You miss a game, you miss a check.
That would be great.
You can't do that.
There's no way that... that it would be, anyone would go for it.
I mean, as much as it sucks, if your team's better off in the playoffs because they took a couple games off, I've got no problem with that. I mean, it sucks if you're a fan and you show up, but if you're complaining during the last week of the season that you're going to a game and the star player is not playing, that's on you.
Well, they do. It's not only that anymore. I mean, you could go to a game fairly early in the season and see someone not play.
But with most players, except for ones that you would know that's going to happen, like Kawhi Leonard, everyone was bitching about that. That's a guy that's had knee issues for a long time, and you knew that was going to be the deal with him. And the reason that it became such a massive issue is because it was back-to-back games. One was going to be on ESPN. The other was on TNT. And the game that was on ESPN was the one that Kawhi decided not to play. And everyone, every show on ESPN bitched about it because that is a massive hit to them when they don't get that guy. And then the next night, he gets to go play for TNT and they get all the ratings.
Well, I mean, people bitch it. College football players for skipping their bowl games, which makes complete sense, by the way, that they would skip their bowl games. Like Greedy Williams.
Christian McCaffrey skipped his bowl game.
Greedy Williams,
right.
I just remember Greedy Williams because I was listening to the Mel Kiper show that he does on Sundays when you don't want to be in the car. Like if you get up and you have to go get like bagels, his voice is on.
I'm familiar.
And he was apoplectic about Greedy Williams not playing. He was going like insane. So I will always remember Greedy Williams as that.
Okay.
The star corner for LSU, who I don't even know who he plays for anymore.
I didn't get to talk to you yesterday. How you feeling pretty good after that Jets win?
I'll tell you how I'm feeling. I'm feeling that at least Sam Darnold showed a little chutzpah.
Okay, because according to Manish Mehta, he's got a brand new article called, it just in quotes, it says, "We got a chance at the playoffs."
That's what Sam Darnold said.
It is. Sam Darnold is believing now that his 2-7 Jets, they got a chance to do it. As a matter of fact, he starts his article saying, "The Jets made the kind of definitive statement Sunday in front of a sleepy crowd that won't soon be forgotten. They are categorically not the worst professional football team in New York or New Jersey."
That's true.
Mm-hmm. They said, quote, "We need every win from now on." He goes, "Because we still got a chance. If we get in a roll here and we win out, we got a chance at the playoffs." So the guys in the locker room know this. They know that. So there you go. You think they're making the playoffs? You down with this optimism that Sammy D is showing you?
I was, but then Herndon's out for the year, and so is their left guard. So now, no. I was all in.
You know what's going to happen?
You were all in on the 7-game winning streak before the injuries?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were going to win everything. They didn't have to play the Patriots again. It was going to be a whole thing.
I hope they almost win out and almost make the playoffs just so they have to keep Adam Gase.
And then they're stuck with just a mid-first round
draft pick. It's not bad enough for them to fire him.
If they win two more games, they're not going to fire him.
No, you're probably right.
Two more games, period?
Yep. They're not going to fire him.
If they win four games this season,
they're not going to fire him. It depends on how they finish. I agree with Fred. If they finish well, if they win two or three of these next seven, that's probably the case.
And also, it's the general manager was, Gase is basically the guy that really campaigned for this guy, and this guy is supposed to be a good general manager. In terms of what Sam Darnold said, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Like, the season's over?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Just, hey, guys. I'm 21 or 22 years old.
Don't watch us for a while. It's not worth it.
Don't worry about it. We suck.
Well, it is kind of starting. This always happens around this time of year. Like right before December, you start to figure out who's been, faking it the entire time, where the flaws are on certain teams. People freak out a little too much about a team. It's too good or too bad at the beginning of the season. And now you're starting to see the NFC take shape. And, that 49ers defense is 1,000% real. And you saw it last night. You've seen it all season long. I always get the Bosa's mixed up. That's not Joey Bosa. That's Nick Bosa.
Joey's in L.A. Nick is in San Francisco.
Nick Bosa's a monster. And he has been a force on that team. Richard Sherman's kind of had a little bit of a renaissance as well, as is the entire defense. Jimmy Garoppolo could end up being a problem this season. Last night, he ended up fumbling the ball twice. Once he coughed it up and ended up being a scoop and score. He threw one interception, but there should have been many more. There were some that were just like dropped right in the hands of the Seahawks, and they ended up dropping him. Now, I know that he's a guy that still is in his second year. He was injured last year, and will he end up, being a good quarterback? Maybe. But this year, that's something you're going to have to keep an eye on. But that defense is good enough, as you were saying, John, to possibly bring
them
far in
the postseason.
That's what
I found out last night.
They've been that good for like the whole season.
And Garoppolo's had an interception in four of his last five games.
Okay.
Your defense in the modern-day NFL only gets you so far.
No, I agree. There's going to be a time where San Francisco needs Garoppolo to win them a playoff.
I will ask you a question.
Will you?
I'm going to put it on the table. You tell me what you think. All right?
Okay. Lay down your cards. What do you got?
All right. We're on our Harleys and we're revving it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to play one game against somebody and you're the Patriots, would you rather play Houston or San Francisco?
Oh, Houston.
Houston.
No question.
See, I'd rather play San Francisco.
Dude, listen.
Because Houston has a very special quarterback.
Houston craps themselves every time they play the Patriots.
I understand that, but it's different this year. Listen, do I like the Patriots in a game over Houston? Absolutely. However, there is a possibility that Deshaun Watson can take the team and win.
Tom Brady versus that defense with the offensive line the way it is right now, it's just, he's going to get killed. Killed.
He gets rid of the ball so quickly. He negates all that stuff.
I don't want to face that San Francisco defense. I don't want to face it. I absolutely have to.
I would take a quarterback that has the skill set to beat you on his own over a defense any day.
I love Deshaun Watson, but you're also looking at a very, very good defense with the Patriots.
I understand that.
They faced Deshaun Watson before and escaped and lived to tell about it.
But Deshaun Watson also is a year older and is playing at an incredibly high level.
And maybe when the two teams play later this season, I'll be proven wrong. But yeah, I would much rather face...
Just like
Houston,
you are about Mookie Betts, maybe we get get some people in here to give you the give. Let's see.
Give me the what for? Yeah. Gonna give me the what for?
Here's the problem with Garoppolo.
Yeah,
is that he's fairly inexperienced and he's not young. That would be my issue with Jimmy Garoppolo. If he was like young, I would go, all right, well, the guy's developing and he can game manage.
They've paid him his money to start performing now, yes, and he hasn't.
No, and that's true. And
part
also,
of that is not his fault, but he's been given ample opportunity this year.
Yeah, he's 28 years
and
old.
And he's been mediocre.
Yeah, and he's in his prime. Yeah, he's 28 years old.
This is it. It's got to be this year, next year. This is it.
Now, if you're asking would I rather see the Patriots play the Seahawks or the 49ers, I'd rather play the 49ers. Russell Wilson is not only obviously is the guy, the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP. Even though he threw a pick right there, he somehow managed to make Jacob Hollister a star. Like it's amazing how last week and then this week Hollister's there, and you keep sitting there going, man, I wish the Patriots had a tight end like that right now.
He was hurt. He was very banged up.
Yeah. No one could have projected this to happen.
Well,
seriously.
No kidding. Of course. You're taking a quarterback every time. And not Philip Rivers either.
I mean, you're taking it. Russell Wilson has a track record. He can prove himself. Deshaun Watson has an opportunity to create that because, I mean, he's winning games with one eye.
Yeah, that's one of the best plays of the year when he got kicked in the eye and he was blind and he threw it to the back of the end zone. I forgot who made the catch.
And again, I think if Houston comes in and plays the Patriots in the playoffs, it's probably a 7-point spread. But if you give me, he gives them a chance. Mm-hmm. And I think if you put Garoppolo in a situation in the playoffs against a good quarterback, I like the team with the quarterback.
And Watt's hurt too. I mean, there's a couple things about Houston. I won't believe in Houston. Right.
Remember, it used to be Clowney and Watt. Now Clowney's in Seattle.
Wrecking. Absolutely.
Killing everybody wrecking. And Watt's out for the season.
Yeah, yep. And then every time Watt was in, they
still neutralized him.
Yeah, he still didn't do anything. I think that's a completely overrated storyline to this season.
What's that? Which one?
J.J. Watt. And I understand it makes things more difficult and that you have to double team J.J. Watt.
He was really good this year.
I understand that.
But he's always really good, right, until he gets hurt.
Right. And
but he disappears for a while.
But he's a defensive lineman, which I would take a quarterback over a defensive lineman any day. I think the two teams in the AFC that could beat the Patriots are Baltimore, and because they're so unconventional, and then maybe the Texans.
I think it was Bird who said it, but look at every team. The teams that have beaten Baltimore are the ones that have played them twice.
Yeah.
The ones that have had...
It was Bird. I think it was Bird. Yeah, Bird.
Jay said, no matter how much you study tape, until you're on the field and you're dealing with that speed, you don't know what you're in for.
Yeah, I would really like to see the two teams play again. And you and I feel differently about this. You think Lamar Jackson... I'm talking to Fred now. You and I feel differently about this. You think Lamar Jackson is perfectly capable.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
If you take away the running game, you think he's perfectly capable of leading a team to a win in a big game like that.
Yes, and they have a coach who won't be afraid, that maybe the only coach in the league that won't be afraid in the AFC, certainly, to come into Gillette. And then they have, I believe that they can change things up enough.
Lamar Jackson, the way he's playing, and you project this out 2 or 3 years, he's going to be a dominant force, but I don't think he's there yet.
All right, well, you know, some of us are a little more believing. You know, we got faith. Will Brinson is going to join us. He of CBSSports.com. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich. Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Tom, as always, appreciate your time, and we will speak to you at halftime.
Thanks, Jim. I look forward to it. Enjoy the first half of the game, and I want to wish you, on your 60th birthday, a great day. I know you had a great party on Saturday night. You have many more great years to come, so really happy for you, and I hope you get to celebrate your day as you should.
Tom, thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.